Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host. Hey, hey, welcome back. So this is the second in a series of what you should expect from a sermon. And more specifically, what should you expect from a preacher giving you a sermon? So, following Hayden Robinson, who is a very, very well-known homiletics teacher, which means preaching teacher, he mentioned that every preacher, to bridge the ancient world with this one, should be able to let you know, or at least examine, have a good knowledge of history, culture, and language. All right. And I'm adding something on top of that. I'm going to say archaeology, and there's a reason behind that. But this particular installment is having to do with culture. So let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Because this is, I think, a really good example of why it's important to know the culture, all right, of Jews, of the Jews. Now, I gotta set this up by saying this. There, by and large, is a predominant, and I don't want to use the word arrogance, but it's a good word to use in this situation, concerning evangelicals, in fact, Christians at large, and their knowledge of the Bible. Because since we study the Bible, and since we read the Bible, somewhere along the way, we get the idea that we're experts on Jews. And we're not. I've already done one podcast on that particular topic, but I do think it's definitely worth remembering. For some reason, you know, we hear and we get little snippets along the way about the culture, about what's happening in the New Testament, about what's, you know, certain things. And for some reason, along the way, we get this idea we're experts on Judaism, you know, and on Jewish people. And we're not. We're not. We only have the smattering of the surface of what's going on. I would say that there are Christians who come close to being experts, yeah. Now, why is that? It's mainly because they study what I just mentioned. They study the history, they study the culture, they study the language, they know the Hebrew, and they study their archaeology, so they know these things. The graduates of Hebrew University, a few, I would say, David Emmanuel being one, I would be more than happy to call him an expert. And Brad Young is another, Dr. Brad Young, I believe. I'd be happy to call him an expert. And even Marvin Wilson, okay? So, I mean, I can keep going, but here's the thing. There are people who I would feel confident. Why is that? Because they've done the due diligence, the background. They've done the digging. They've done the knowledge. They know. Now, I don't know if they'd call themselves experts, okay? But I'm just saying, next to me, they're an expert. So, the culture is important because culture and it has to do with how a whole group of people react. What kinds of traditions, habits, and things did they use at that particular period of time? For example, a cultural thing in America is, we have breakfast and lunch and dinner. Or sometimes we call it supper, depending on where you are. But in the United Kingdom, they have tea time in there, in between those. And it's very, very set up. Well, U.S., we don't. There are areas, I think, that do have tea time still, but I'm just saying, by and large, as a nation, we're not doing tea time. Whereas in the UK, they know what that is. Well, that's cultural. It's cultural. And so it's important. It's important. And so let's take a look at Matthew 15 for a second. So, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, and by the way, I'm sorry, I've just got to interject this, any time in the New Testament you're talking about the Pharisees, you have to ask, where are these guys from? Because by and large, the Pharisees that gave Jesus the most interaction, I'd say, were from Jerusalem. Why is that? Well, because most of these Pharisees were in some type of connection with the temple. And the temple was run by the Sadducees. And they wanted the Sadducees to kind of like them, all right? And they were probably from the school of Shammai and not Gamaliel, which means they were real, real hard cases. And that being the case, they were real sticky about a whole bunch of little bitty stuff, all right? But by and large, if they came from Jerusalem, and even in the book of Acts, a lot of the Jerusalem Pharisees gave Paul no end of fits. So here's the thing. I'm sorry, I digress, but anyway. Verse 1, chapter 15, then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. And he answered them, he being Jesus, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mom or his mother, what you would gain from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. All right, so kind of what's going on here? Well, first of all, they're giving Jesus a verbal smackdown because his disciples aren't washing their hands the way that they think. Now, all right, so look, even today, people wash their hands before the meal, sometimes after the meal, sometimes both, and it was the same way back then. Now, where in the Ten Commandments or and in the Old Testament does it say you've got to wash your hands before your meal? So there are some washings that are stipulated, But when it comes to a meal, this particular passage is referring to a local custom. All right? They make it sound like that this is like written down in the Mishnah, you know, like this is hardcore, you know, solid. And it really wasn't. There were areas they washed before the meal, sometimes they washed after the meal. It just depended on where you were. It was a custom. Customs are traditions, and that's cultural. Well, if you didn't know better, you would swear that this was written in the Bible hardcore, that that what they're saying is just the way it has to be. But that's what Jesus is getting at. No, this is a local custom. In fact, what Jesus is basically getting at is, look, you know, you're getting on me about washing hands. You're basically not giving your mom and dad, and you're not teaching people to honor your parents by helping them. At this point in time, basically, older moms and dads had to rely on their kids. When they got to the there wasn't a nursing home, and there wasn't like Social Security or any kind of, in the U.S. it's Social Security, but any kind of plan set aside for older folks. Older folks had to rely on their kiddos, mainly the guys. And that being the case, what these Pharisees were teaching people was that, hey, you know, if you're going to give it to God, then you don't have to give it to your parents. Well, Jesus is saying, look, you're getting on to me about washing hands, and you're basically sentencing these parents to starvation because you're teaching people, oh, well, I wasn't going to give it to you, Mom and Dad, but, gee, I'm going to give it to God instead. As if God cares, you know, more about letting your parents starve. You know, getting it himself and letting the parents starve. Well, Jesus is trying to let them know, look, that's not honoring your parents. How is that? And you're getting on to me about washing hands. But again, the point is, the hand-washing situation, as far as before a meal, after a meal, that was a local decision. But again, they make it sound like it's a big, hairy deal written down in stone from the Ten Commandments, you know, handed to Moses from Sinai, and it's not. So, local culture is very important to know and to look at, because it sheds light on what's going on. Another thing I think that is very important that we miss out on sometimes has to do with people are really, really down on the Jewish story that they read in the Bible and New Testament specifically. Because they think, well, gee, I don't understand why these people are so wrapped up in all these little bitty laws and following the instructions and all that stuff. I just don't get it. They just seem like they're just out of whack. Well, look, part of the reason why is because before that, the 400 years that most Protestants call silent years, which are anything but silent, covers an entire situation that started Hanukkah, for one, which basically the Syrians under Antiochus Epiphanes told the Jewish nation, you're not going to be Jews anymore, basically, is what he said. You're not gonna do your, you know, teach your law. You're not gonna read your law. You're not gonna do these rituals that you do. So you need to just be Greeks and love it. And so he rammed Greek culture down their throat, and they said no. A Jewish father named Matthias started Maccabean Revolt. And because of the Maccabean Revolt over that period of time, that started what we call nationalism. They were, all of a sudden, Jews began to really, really double down on Jewishness. And they said, and they began being totally on fire for being Jewish. And because of that, Hebrew was, by and large, the language in Israel. Now, Aramaic was there, yes, but as far as teaching goes and doing what was culturally Jewish, that had Hebrew all in it. And they were proud of it. Because basically, somebody came up and said, you know, hey, you're not going to be Jewish anymore. You're going to be Greek. And they said, no, I don't think so. So when we come into Jesus' day, they are immensely proud of being Jewish. Because in everything that is Jewish, they double down on. They were very, very, very insistent, very, very eager to do. Okay. Which, yes, Jesus points this out, that there were groups that went a little overboard, sometimes a lot overboard. Jesus corrects their attitude. But when he does, guess what? Jesus is doing it from the inside. He is a Jew. So you have a Jewish teacher, talking to other Jewish teachers, explaining, look, you guys are going off the rails. You're not doing this in a positive way. But again, if you don't know the culture about how proud they were of being Jewish and the fact that the Romans had them under the thumb and were also kind of, you know, well, all this Jewish stuff here is really getting on my nerves. That's basically the Roman attitude. Well, they were very proud of being Jewish and very strong about it. So it's important to know the culture. Now, if you don't have a preacher who understands that and what's going on, they can give you some really weird interpretations of some scriptures because they don't understand what's going on. So at the least, Jewish culture is very important. Now, next time, we're going to look at the language. And that's, I think, going to be the linchpin. But anyway, again, want to encourage you in your Bible study, all right? And keep on keeping on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Speak It On. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the word in boldness and truth. And may God bless all of your